fields like natural language understanding and knowledge management and information extraction. And we know that many of our customers, especially the government customers, have enormous data sources, and they feel that there's tremendous insight available in those data sources if only they had the tools to process them.
If you could connect all the dots.
Exactly right. Yeah. If you could connect the dots, if you could extract the insights, if you could, you know, a lot of times the federal officials know exactly the kinds of questions they would like to ask the data, but if the data isn't already structured, they don't have the tools to ask those questions. And Watson is a tool that can ask questions posed by a human against very large collections of unstructured data.
So this is essentially, Watson is taking on Jeopardy. It's a competition against Jeopardy's two most successful and celebrated contestants, Ken Jennings, and the computer is actually competing in the Jeopardy contest. Now this is unusually difficult for a computer to do because it's not just calculating data. It's, you have to actually almost think somewhat.
That's a good way of putting it. The machine to play Jeopardy, the reason we were so attracted to Jeopardy as a vehicle for showing what the computer could do was, first of all, you have to understand, to some degree, you have to understand parts of human language. I don't want to claim the computer understands it the way we do, but it has to understand a lot of what the person's asking. And in Jeopardy, the clue, as they call it, is actually deliberately obscured by humor and witty comments and double meanings. And so there's a big challenge there. The other thing about Jeopardy that fascinated us is the domain over which you might expect to have knowledge is very broad. Physics, chemistry, children's book titles, famous cities, famous historical figures, song lyrics. And so it really stretches the capacity not just to understand what's being asked, but it depends on you having access to a vast amount of information. And by the way, when we're playing Jeopardy, our machine is not connected to any network. It has no ability to make queries to the internet. That the machine has to play in a standalone fashion just as the humans do.
Hmm. So this isn't just it's able to quickly do a Google search and tap into, tap into that kind of data. This is, it has to think, for lack of, I don't know what other word to use.
Yeah, well, I think if you use the word casually, I think it's fair. There are elements of human thinking that are mimicked by what the machine does. And it is, in fact, as you just pointed out, very, very different than typing something into a search engine. In fact, we've been amused by some of the folks that were typing Jeopardy clues into search engines and claiming success by saying that the answer was in some document that was returned somewhere. And we've actually done some looking at, what performance you'd actually get playing the game of Jeopardy using that technique, and the answer is you would probably only maybe rarely get an answer right. It's actually very, very far away from what we've done. And what we're hoping, quite frankly, is people see the computer playing this game that I think only 4 years ago even the top computer science folks in the country would have said was an interesting but impossible problem. And we're hoping that a whole new generation of students going through school will get inspired by the kinds of problems we can solve. And we're, quite frankly, our fondest hope here is we can encourage the next generation of science and mathematics and computer science students by seeing there's a whole new realm of problem solving where computers really can be quite effective, and they haven't been before.
Get people really excited about the challenges that we face. Somehow, some of the challenges feel that like government faces, connecting the dots in Homeland Security or something, can feels kind of overwhelming. This makes it kind of fun, kind of okay if we can do that.
Sure. Before I had the job up here in IBM Research, I acted as our chief technology officer for our federal business. And I brought many of my federal clients up to our research labs, and we had them take a look at early versions of the machine. We even let some of them play Jeopardy against the machine during a briefing. And almost any federal agency we brought up here was immediately captivated by this idea of, I as a federal official know the kinds of problems I'm trying to solve. You know, maybe I'm trying to look at people applying for a certain benefit, you know, and maybe some of those people have a very time-critical situation. They maybe have a health problem or a financial problem. And if I could just find the kinds of applications that had a certain set of characteristics, I could maybe pull those out and accelerate them and you know, do a more efficient job of which requests for benefits are more or less time-sensitive. I could do my job, serve citizens better, and I know kind of what to do. I know the logic and I know the strategy, but I don't have a tool that can take these, you know, gigabytes or terabytes of completely unstructured data and make sense out of it to help me answer these questions.
And there are a lot of challenges, the intelligence one we've talked about, but even sometimes legislations gets passed and there's unintended consequences. If you could create a machine that could almost map out the consequences, again, I'm looking for a word, but think about unintended consequences that maybe we don't think about, that could at least give you some data upon which to make a decision.
Oh, sure. That's something that we've looked at. We've had some conversations with folks in Washington about, you know, not only looking at the legislation itself, but actually looking at the regulations that get written after the legislation is passed. That, you know, and looking at, do any of the terms of these regulations conflict with each other, or looking at it a different way. If I were a business that wanted to get a certain type of permit, could I use a machine like this to ask questions about how to work my way through a compliance process that once you know it might be simple, but it might be very complex to figure out what were all the things I had to worry about. So again, the reasoning is done by humans, and then the human reasoning is amplified by the properties of the machine that can digest a source of data so big that no human could hold it in his or her head, and then the machine becomes then an assistant to the human, and they actually do the job collaboratively, where when we play the game of Jeopardy on TV, the machine has to be, you know, totally on its own, working unassisted. It would be very powerful working collaboratively with a human expert.
So I got to ask you, because I was watching the NewsHour report on this amazing thing that you've created, and they, of course, ran the 2010, you know, where all of a sudden the computer sort of takes over and, you know, the guy gets locked outside in space, and, you know, it's kind of scary. Are we moving towards that kind of space? That, I mean, I think that sort of scares people.
Well, you know, Dave Ferrucci, who's the scientist who led the team that built Watson, is asked a lot, you know, does this machine remind him of HAL in 2001,
yeah,
or does it remind him of some of the other scary computers from science fiction? And what Dave's answer always is very simple, and for those of us like me who are great Star Trek fans, he says, you know, I envision this machine as being like Captain Kirk's computer on the Enterprise, where, you know, the captain goes into his cabin, he's solving a thorny problem, and he says, you know, computer, please, you know, wait, what are all of the escape routes from this sector, and where are all the Federation ships, and, you know, do international Starfleet treaties let me do these things? And, of course, you remember Star Trek. The computer thinks for a moment and then starts giving the captain options. He's thought through his strategy, but he doesn't know which of the options are likely to be executable. And so one of the things you'll notice watching Jeopardy is the machine actually has a little answer console that the Jeopardy producers have superimposed on the screen that shows the top three choices and the confidence levels that the machine has.
Yeah.
And so one thing interesting about Watson is it actually knows what it knows, and it knows what it doesn't know. So it actually has the idea of, this is what I think the answer is, and this is how sure I am or how unsure I am that this answer is correct. So the idea of an evidence profile is very powerful, because when you're assisting a human with decision-making, like perhaps assisting a doctor with a diagnosis, we can come back to the doctor and say, these are the things we found in the medical literature that look like that. Here's what we think the answer is, but here's why we think this is the answer. And here are the three sources we found that made us believe this is the answer, and this is how sure we are. And then the human can ask himself or herself, do I want to go look at those sources and decide if I agree with the, you know, the suggestions that the machine made?
So I got to ask, why Watson?
The machine is named after Thomas J. Watson, who was the founder of IBM. And this is our 100th year anniversary as a company, and so we felt it was very fitting to name this machine in honor of our founder on our 100th anniversary year.
Well, even if Watson doesn't win, it's what a cool experiment, and what an amazing thing that you guys have done. It has to feel pretty incredible.
It does. In fact, I would say that the the most rewarding feeling that we have is when our own colleagues from the scientific and technical community, who told us 4 years ago that this was, you know, an interesting challenge but too hard and we would never succeed, they're now coming back in interviews, you know, with the print media and some of them on TV saying, you know what, they really did it. I admire it. And not only is it really, really fun and really cool and really inspiring, you know, my comment about inspiring the next generation of folks to build things like this, but they're saying it actually moved the needle on science. We advanced this field of science more in 4 years than they'd seen it move in a while. And that's the same people that said we couldn't do it. And so I really appreciate them coming out and making those comments now.